good morning, and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Putinoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. It's the same number you can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Friday, that means Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33. So we can recombobulate Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area.
And
now part of Civic Media.
Woot, woot, co-worker.
Woot, yes. Very happy about that. My first chance to talk to him.
Oh, that's right.
Since the news was announced. So looking forward to that. Dan Schaefer coming up at 10:33.
Absolutely.
Next hour, 11:33. If you have a resident young person who is interested in aviation.
Yes.
You want to stick around. At 11:33, we're going to be talking to two people associated with the EAA and the Young Eagles program. And Ed Becerra is a pilot, and Tracy Miller actually helps run the Young Eagles program, which is aimed at getting more kids interested in aviation.
And it's not just about
flying.
I learned this last year listening to interviews at the EAA last year when I produced a show. That industry is always hiring trained people.
Oh, yeah. Mechanics?
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of different avenues you can take within aviation.
Exactly.
So it should be a very interesting discussion. That is coming up at 11:33, if you can stick around for that. Want to remind you as well, tomorrow, Saturday morning, Waukesha Farmers Market in the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank, downtown Waukesha. The Farmers Market runs from 8 to noon. I will be there from 9 to 11 tomorrow, along with our helper, David. We have the Wheel of Prizes, Greg Bach.
Do you smell something, Jane?
I smell scones of peace.
Scones of peace are coming.
Scones of peace.
They're on the horizon. They shall arrive sometime in the morn of Saturday, we call tomorrow.
If you would like to have a long conversation, I'm going to be out there for a couple of hours. I invite you to come and join me tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, at the Waukesha Farmers Market. We've got a couple of chairs.
Yeah.
I'll buy you a cup of coffee. We can share a scone of peace. And you can talk to me. As long as you like.
Maybe some of the individuals who were so hepped up on Earl's show earlier want to stop by.
Come on by.
A scone of peace.
I would love to meet you. I mean that.
Yes.
I really do. Come on down. We'll have a nice, long conversation. You could talk as long as you want.
But keep the volume respectable.
Well, Dave, I got my sidekick, David, there.
I know,
he looks out for me.
But also, I will say this, folks. Those scones of peace are for real.
Oh, yeah.
The coffee is real. And Jane is legit bummed when she comes in on Monday and no one takes her up on the offer.
I would like to meet you.
Yeah.
I genuinely would. So tomorrow morning, Waukesha Farmers Market. The market runs from 8 to noon. I will be there from 9 to 11. Look for the Civic Media tent and stop on by for some coffee and a scone of peace. If a scone's not your thing, we can do a cookie of peace. There's all kinds of food.
Trust me, folks, you want one of these scones.
Maple bacon scone will change the course of your life.
And it's not just that. It's the fact that they're not dry and...
No, they're...
You don't have to use them as a doorstop.
Exactly, or dunk them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're almost pre-dunked.
You know what? Get scones of peace. Get a lot of them, and then nobody show up. On a Monday, I get to have leftover scones of peace because they're just as tasty.
I bought $25 worth of scones a couple months ago, and I was like, please, take a scone.
I think I ate like $17 worth of them.
Come and have a scone of peace. If not, just come to the Waukesha Farmers Market. Fabulous produce. Some of the most beautiful produce. I mean that very sincerely, too. And lovely, lovely people down there at the Waukesha Farmers Market. So I hope to see you down there tomorrow. We are going to start off, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Since we did a version of All the Best People, Greg Bach.
Yeah.
All the Best People, Donald Trump said going into his first administration, he would surround himself with nothing but all the best people.
Yes.
Tragically, most of all those best people didn't last the entire administration. A lot of them got fired.
Well, those weren't the best people.
Obviously not.
No.
And then, of course, there were all the people who resigned after January 6th.
Still not the best people.
Not the best people, apparently. But this guy is certainly one of Donald Trump's best people.
Yes.
He is loyal as the day is long, Stephen Miller.
MAGA Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Like, first ballot.
Oh, definitely. Stephen Miller, who will have a very active role in a second Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been out talking about some of the plans of former President Trump, what his administration will do. Of course, they're all now about entire cities and towns being taken over by Venezuelan gangs.
Yes.
And Haitian immigrants who are here legally, by the way,
mm-hmm.
in Springfield, Ohio.
Yep.
They're here legally.
Yeah. And they're not eating your dog.
No, they're not eating your pets. But Stephen Miller, out on the stump for Trump earlier this week, talking about, and Donald Trump has said this repeatedly,
yeah,
that the crime rate now in Venezuela is so low because all of the criminals from Venezuela have been released and sent here to the U.S.
Hmm, okay.
Let's play, Calvin, this first clip from Stephen Miller. Take a listen to this.
The crime rate in Venezuela is down, I believe, a little bit over 60% over the last several years.
Are you trusting the official figures from the Venezuelan dictatorship?
Let's put it this way. If you're a dictator of a poor country with a high crime rate, wouldn't you send your criminals to our open border?
That wasn't my question. Are you trusting the figures of the dictatorships? Those are Maduro numbers.
I am believing that it is in the interest of a criminal dictator to let his criminals out of their jails and come to our country.
Do you have numbers, real numbers? No dictatorship.
We're going to put a link to the video in our show notes after the show is over, mm-hmm. because I really want you to be able to see Stephen Miller's face and the sweat factor as this conversation continues.
I'm also going to include a link to a website that I saw a while ago, because this Venezuelan number, this mm-hmm. Venezuelan report they always bring up has been one of the through lines. It's always what they bring up. And I'm going to give you all the ability to read about the Venezuelan number, the crime numbers of Venezuela, and just why they are, in fact, lowering. It's because the economy is doing horribly. And when the economy is doing horribly, crime can sometimes relocate. And that's what they're doing. They're relocating to other South American countries. So I'll put that in the show note as well.
Andrew from Maine texting in, listening here in Waukesha. Don't forget, all those best people don't want to work with him again. Yeah, there's that.
Those aren't the best people, Andrew. Oh,
they were not the best
people. They're not
people.
The best people. Laura Loomer.
So Stephen Miller, stumping for Trump, claims that the Venezuelan crime rate is down over 61%. And we have this young reporter who is asking him, where do you get these numbers? Are you getting these numbers from the Maduro administration? And if so, he's a dictator. Why would you believe his numbers?
Well, when your favorite guy name checks Viktor Orban, then all bets are off.
I guess.
Period.
Let's play clip number two from Stephen Miller as this exchange continues.
The Venezuelan gangs that have, you've seen the CCTV footage. I have a question. Who do you think? Answer me this.
My family's from Venezuela. I know very well the situation of Caracas and many other cities.
Right, tell me, who were the people with the high-powered rifles in the hallway of that apartment building? Who were they?
They were gangsters from Venezuela.
Right. No American community.
But I was asking to you about figures, numbers,
what I'm
facts.
To you is the facts are the dead bodies. The facts are...
You said that Caracas has a lowest crime rate than the USA.
The facts are the mutilated bodies. The facts are the people in the morgues that are dead.
I was asking you about Caracas and the numbers in Caracas. Are you trusting the numbers of the dictatorship to state...
I am trusting the fact that Kamala Harris is letting illegal immigrants into this country who are raping and murdering children.
I had been very respectful. Why are you yelling?
Why are you yelling?
And again, I
want you to be able to see the video, because when he starts this exchange with this reporter, he's got this smug look on his face like, well, I got you now. This is what I know. I know dictators want to get rid of their bad elements. That's my fact. And then things aren't going so well for him, and he starts sweating and melting down and yelling. And all the guy's asking is, where are you getting your numbers from? Tell me where you're getting these numbers.
Yes.
Karina from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Karina. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, guys. You know what? This is what I want to ask those people. Because the criminals are not the old same criminals. Venezuela is a dictatorship. There are beamed on that in the many countries, including Russia, where you will take a dissident, people who are against of actual the ruler, mix them with the criminals. And then the what is it, Association of what is it for Human Rights, they over 70s and 80s, they were advocated and removed, including my, that's why I know, saving their lives from the jails because they are dissidents. Those people are not criminals. Those people are protesters against of a tyranny. So there has got to be some sort of qualification, even if it's happening. I'm saying that let's pretend it's happening. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think you make a good point, Karina, in that, yes, people who speak out against his dictatorships are labeled dissidents and enemies of the regime.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they either jail you in that country or they kick them out of their country.
Yeah. And they automatically come here.
Naturally.
They automatically come here because that's where it's the easiest to crime.
Well, and again, all this reporter is asking is, where are you getting these numbers?
Yes.
That the crime rate in Venezuela is down over 60% in comparison to the crime rates in the U.S., and he just melts away.
Which is an absolute through line for them as well. You ask anyone, where are your numbers? Where are you getting information?
I don't need numbers.
Yeah, I don't need numbers. I don't know those numbers. I didn't check them out. Or they lose their mind.
Or they just know it in their bones, Greg.
Inherently.
And they know it inherently. We're going to keep this going. Keep the calls and texts coming. 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are doing a round of all the best people. Donald Trump, Stephen Miller, on the stump for Trump earlier this week. And he made a claim that the crime rate in Venezuela is down over 60%, which is a pretty big number. And a reporter who happens to be Venezuelan, who knows the country, who knows the cities, simply asked Stephen Miller, where are you getting these numbers? Are you getting these numbers from the dictator Maduro? You may want to question those if that's the case. And Tony on the live stream says, I saw this clip last night and I love the rising anger in Miller's face. It was wonderful. He genuinely looks baffled that someone is just not accepting what he said as gospel.
No. Oh my gosh.
Like, how dare you question me?
Well, it's the examples he uses. You know, he throws in names of people and the murdering, and he gets very visceral and violent and aggressive. And because you don't agree with him, therefore, you must not care about the things that he cares about.
Well, you're siding with the Venezuelan gang members,
yeah,
then.
And a point of order, if you're listening here, this article that I will be linking was published in May of 2024. And from May of 2023 to 2024, the crime rates reported by the government fell by 25.1%.
In which country?
Venezuela. Now, If that is the government report, then it's
consider
a security officer.
The source of the numbers.
But it's certainly not 60.
No, it is
not 60.
It's not 60.
In fact, some would say, I hear people saying that 60 is more than double 25. Some people are saying.
They might be right.
They might be right. I don't know. I don't know about it.
We have another clip from Stephen Miller after getting confronted by this reporter asking, where are you getting these crime rate numbers? Gavin, let's play clip number 3.
Do you know who Jocelyn Ungary is? Do you know who she is?
Do you know how
Tell
many
who she
people
is, who
is
she?
Experiencing
who is
violence
she?
In Caracas?
Who is she? Who is Lakin Riley?
Why
who
are you
is
yelling
she?
Again?
Because I'm yelling.
Why are you
because
yelling?
Children are being raped and murdered.
I was just
by
asking for figures,
immigrants.
And you have not
children
replied to me about those figures.
Murdered. Do you know who Kayla Hamilton is?
Do you trust
is?
The numbers of Nicolas Maduro? I'm asking again.
I trust a ruthless dictator will empty his prisons and send their criminals to our country.
So you trust his numbers?
The most dangerous gang in Venezuela is
you
now
trust Nicolas Maduro?
I trust that he does not want his criminals to be...
So you believe in his numbers?
I believe he's sending his criminals to our country.
And do you think that the crime rate in Venezuela have decreased?
Do you not believe the law enforcement reports of Venezuelan gangs in this country?
I was asking for the Venezuelan government figures, not the figures here.
Or not. Are Venezuelan gangs in this country or not? Yes or no?
What
yes
are
no?
the figures
yes no?
that you
yes
say
no?
to say
yes
that
no?
in
yes
Caracas
yes
the
no?
number is lower than in the
gangs,
USA?
Are Venezuelan gangs in this country or not?
So you don't have numbers.
Just.
Jake from Madison texting in, listening on WXCO. Notice how Stephen Miller can give one or two individual stories and turn that into millions of criminal migrants all mm-hmm. over America.
Yeah.
Why don't he or other MAGAs, why aren't MAGAs 1 millionth as interested in the thousands of kids who deal with gun violence from their fellow Americans every year? Jake in Madison. Thank you, Jake. They also don't seem to be terribly concerned about women who are victims of domestic violence, women and girls who are sexually assaulted. That doesn't seem to bother them unless it happens by someone who's a brown person.
Or a drag queen.
Or a drag queen.
As long as it's not a cop or
a minister. Or a youth coach.
Exactly. It's or someone who's saved, you know, they've done a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
Those are the problems. And they have a solution for the gun problems in schools. We arm the teachers.
We need more guns.
Yes.
The problem with guns is there's just not enough.
We're at the point now where everyone gets two guns.
Well, they're not going to be happy until there's a gun in every baby's bassinet.
Yep. Oh, God.
So that's what you get at your baptism is your first handgun. Let's play clip number 4, the final clip from Stephen Miller. Again, maintaining that the crime numbers in Venezuela are down over 60%, but he has no proof. Calvin, let's play clip number 4.
Are Venezuela? You know who has numbers? The Department of Homeland Security.
That's us.
You can ask Mayorkas for numbers. Street. You can ask the Director Ray for the numbers.
Sir,
I'm telling you.
You said
you think
that in Venezuela, the crime rate is lower than
because,
the USA.
Yes, because
what
the
are your
are
numbers? That's
now.
My question.
Because the criminals are here now.
Those are Maduro's numbers.
I can tell you again. That Border Patrol agents are encountering
Do
thousands
you trust
of
Maduro
members.
Numbers?
I trust the border agents in our country.
But
and
they
I
are not
that
saying that Caracas has a lower crime rate.
Children are dead, and you are wasting my time.
No, I am not
children
wasting your time. I'm asking
you
for facts as a journalist.
Do you have any remorse for the dead children? Do you care at all about the dead children?
Absolutely.
Then that's what I want to leave you with, is that Donald Trump
I
will
was
come
just
to
asking
office.
For figures.
I'm just asking you to back up your claim that the crime rate in Venezuela is down 61%. That's what I'm asking you.
Where can you point me to that report? If, like, honestly, can I walk into a college statistics class and be like, here are my statistics. Where'd you get that from? The criminals are in America. That's just, they never have proof.
Or specifics. Except again, and as Jake pointed out, they'll bring up these two, it's terrible what happened to these.
Yes.
What happened to these people. It's terrible. But there are terrible atrocities, tragically, that happen in our country on a daily basis that are not being committed by migrants or immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to be the one to point this out, but the one thing that most perpetrators of crimes have in common is their gender. Sorry.
I require no apology, and I don't disagree with you.
God, I'm getting all Stephen Miller.
Yeah, you're having a Stephen Miller.
Am I sweating? It's like, wow.
Are you
sorry?
Are you spouting out lies and non-facts?
It just makes me furious.
Absolutely.
It is infuriating. And I guess the one spark of joy that I get out of that exchange is seeing someone hold these people to account and asking for the proof.
Continually. And the way he does it. He was so polite. So polite, so calm. And that is what makes people like that so angry. When you approach him with kid gloves and say, hey, I just want to know where you got the information from.
Right.
That's all I'm looking for. I'm a journalist. I want to report. If crime is down in Venezuela or anywhere 61%, let's put a parade on. But I need those numbers first before. And you can't just say, don't you care about dead children? Who's going to say, you know what? I do not. You know who doesn't care about dead children? Stephen Miller, because he uses this example so much, it's nothing to him. He doesn't care about them. He doesn't care about anybody. He barely probably cares about Trump. He just cares about his own tuchus.
News is coming up next. By the way, I will be out at the Waukesha Farmers Market tomorrow.
You can drive all the way down
from 9 to 11. Come on by, sit down with me. We'll have a long, long talk and share a scone of peace.
Yeah.
Dan Schaefer, when we return from the recombobulation area, you're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Leon continues to actively ruin. He is not just the author of The Recombobulation Area, he is now the political editor for Civic Media. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, sir. I'm glad to see you. I missed the big announcement because I was gone, but I did know that it was happening. So happy to have you with us here at Civic Media.
You must be muted. You're muted.
Thank you so much, Jane. Always wonderful to join you. Sorry, I was a little discombobulated for a second there, but we recombobulated quickly. And yeah, a little bit of news since I've been gone. How about that, Jane?
Yeah.
How about that?
I knew nothing would happen while I was gone. And of course, absolutely nothing happened. No, I know Greg and Calvin did a great job keeping everybody up to date on what was going on while I was off for a couple of weeks. So thanks again for that. Big poll came out this week.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. As I always do at the recombobulation area, I broke down the latest from the Marquette University Law School poll, and not just the top of the kind of the headline item from the poll that showed Kamala Harris leading Donald Trump by a 4-point margin. But as always, really got into the details, got into the crosstabs, took a closer look at that Harris-Trump race. Took a look at the first in-depth polling for Tim Walz. Took a look at the latest from the Senate race between Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde. So lots to process, lots to digest, lots to recombobulate with. But I think we can start with the Harris-Trump head-to-head and where things stand there. You know, this poll does look pretty good for Kamala Harris. And I know that, you know, we know Wisconsin's going to be a toss-up. We know things are going to be close. We know there's going to be many a campaign visit over the next 50-plus days in the state of Wisconsin. But I think the momentum appears to be on Harris's side. You know, a 4-point lead in a, you know, a 50-50 state is significant. She's also over 50%, so it's not like there's a lot of undecided voters in this race right now. That's always a significant metric to look at in this polling. And one of the things that really stood out overall is just the level of enthusiasm for Democrats. I noted this in the August poll, which was the first one with Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket, you know, a huge jump from about 40% of Democratic voters saying they were enthusiastic about voting in November to up to 60% once the shift was made to Harris, and now up over 70% and ahead of Republicans, their level of enthusiasm for voting right now. So a huge, huge shift over the last couple months there. And, you know, Charles Franklin talked about this, and I have a podcast about that you can listen to after Matt and Air on Air, of course, onto the Civic Media Network. But that enthusiasm often translates to turnout. And I think that is why, you know, that is an important metric. It's one thing to just say, hey, the Democrats are excited. They're rallying around Kamala Harris. The DNC, you know, appears to have given her a bit of a post-convention bump in Wisconsin here. But that is, that matters because it translates to turnout. That enthusiasm translates to turnout. And with Democratic enthusiasm being as high as it is right now, that's a really strong indicator going into this final stretch. There's also, and I saw this in a number of places throughout the poll, there's a huge gender gap in politics in Wisconsin.
This is not a surprise.
In race after race, with men by and large supporting Republicans, and, you know, just a majority of men supporting Republicans and a majority of women supporting Democrats. And so in this poll, you see men backing Trump by a 10-point margin and women backing Harris by a 16-point margin. And then you also see that in some of the favorability numbers for each of the candidates, too, where Trump's favorability with women is a net minus 25 and Harris is poor with men and a net minus 20. So I think, you know, partially because you have, you know, a woman and a man at the top of the ticket, there's going to be some level of divide on the gender gap there. But I think we're going to see some numbers that show that this gender gap is as wide as it has ever been in a presidential race. You know, so fellow men out there, let's get it together a little bit, I think, right?
Well, one of the things that, you know, I always think about is back to 2016 and 2020 is that, you know, especially, well, specifically 2016, you had a man and a woman running, and the 43% of white women who came out for Trump, and they talked about the gender gap, and really, and then in 2020, it raised to 45%. So, well, I mean, that those numbers are huge. It's still, I still have that nervous feeling like at the end of the day, when someone can say like, I'm going to vote for this person, but when they get in the polling place and in that booth and they pull that arm or mark that ballot, they might be like, I'm going to vote what I think is.
Well, and I kind of agree with Greg, Dan, and I appreciate all the work that you do on the polls and breaking down the polls. Polls always make me twitchy.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember, yet yes, the enthusiasm is one thing, but polls don't vote. Yard signs right. don't vote. Parades don't vote. You know, rallies don't vote. It still comes down to individual people, and we've talked about this quite a bit. I do think, especially among women, and maybe even women in the WOW counties, who are going to nod along with their husbands and their fathers and their uncles, and then they're going to go to the poll, and they're going to cast their ballot, and they're going to vote for Harris. I just think that there are more of those people out there than we realize.
Yeah.
And in order to keep the peace within their own little universe, they're going to nod and smile and go, yes, you're right. I love Trump. That's great. And then they're going to vote the other way.
He has so many concepts for plans.
So many concepts for plans. Yeah. Yes. I have a concept of a plan.
Yeah. And I also think it's, you know, it's, I think I did some other research on this for the VP race too, and noted some things on that front with the gender gap as well, because I think it's not just Donald Trump, it's J.D. Vance too. And I don't think J.D. Vance is having a lot of success winning over some of those suburban women that maybe Donald Trump has lost and Republicans have lost over the years. So the net favorability numbers with women, Tim Walz is a plus 17. And J.D. Vance is a minus 21.
Youch.
So there is a huge gap between, you know, those two candidates kind of coming onto the scene at a similar times this summer. You know, they have similar, you know, they're similar kind of name recognition now with being in a part of the ticket. There's still about 20% of voters who don't yet have an opinion on either of them. But this is the first really robust polling on Tim Walz in Wisconsin. And one of the jokes that Charles Franklin always makes at these presentations is that nobody really likes anybody. All of these politicians have net negative favorability ratings. The one exception to that this year, basically, was maybe, you know, there would be polls here and there where Tammy Baldwin would be like plus one or plus two or something like that. Tony Evers is pretty strong, plus six, plus seven range. And Tim Walz now joins them in that plus, he is a plus six favorability rating in Wisconsin. And he is, if you look at the polling on Tim Walz, he is checking all the boxes you would want to see from a candidate running in Wisconsin. He's doing really well all over the state. And he's polling well. Let me see. I'll just pull up my numbers here. Strong marks with moderate voters, solid net positive with voters who have a highest level of education is just a high school diploma. That's an area that Democrats have struggled previously. He's with voters over 60 years old. He's a net plus 10 with women, he's plus 17. So he's really doing well in Wisconsin. And I think also, you know, this poll also asked people to kind of self-identify, you know, where they are ideologically in Wisconsin too. So you have some very conservative voters, you have some very liberal voters, but the largest group in Wisconsin is the moderates. Mm-hmm. And they took a look in this poll of just how do you see various candidates? Do you see them very far to one side or the other, or do you see them more moderate? Well, the candidate of the, you know, of the two presidential candidates and the two vice presidential candidates that was viewed the most moderate was Tim Walz. And Harris was viewed as more moderate than Trump, and Walz far more moderate than J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is seen as more extreme and more conservative than even Donald Trump in this polling. And Tim Walz, you know, seen by more than 20% of voters as moderate. Of course, many see him as liberal or very liberal. But there are far more voters seeing him as moderate than, I think it's less than 10% of voters who see J.D. Vance as moderate. So I think that is really going to matter for winning over some of those swing voters in so many different ways. And I think, you know, as Walz continues to campaign, we know he's going to be campaigning around northern Wisconsin. Yes. Mm-hmm. This weekend. You know, the more stops Walz makes in Wisconsin, I think that is going to really help the ticket, because the polling shows that Walz is polling much better than Vance and is really adding something to the ticket here in Wisconsin.
He joins us every Friday at this time. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and also now the political editor for Civic Media.
It honestly doesn't surprise me that they see Trump as more moderate, because Trump doesn't commit. He's very happy to have gotten rid of Roe v. Wade. Well, I'm not in favor of it. He doesn't come off as strict as Vance does. He's so wishy-washy.
Well, everything he says is a moving target.
Yes.
Like you can't, you know, yes. So people can kind of assign their own views onto Trump because he doesn't have any like actual defined positions, because they're always seem to be in flux. But you know, Trump is not really seen as a moderate much at all. Again, mm-hmm. it's like 10% of voters, but again, it's you know, more than J.D. Vance, I guess.
Yeah. Matt from Germantown had a text. He's listening here in Waukesha on WAUK. Didn't a Fox News host say if you vote for a woman, you transition to a woman? That was Jesse Waters.
Yeah, it was Jesse Waters.
Maybe that's why there's a big gender disparity. You might be onto something there, Matt. Not sure. But the likability factor, and boy, that J.D. Vance pick, they're never going to be able to shake that off. They're just never going to be able to shake him off. And I have to wonder what this is going to mean for his political career going forward, because he's so disliked now.
Oh, God.
Will he become more likable as time goes by? I don't know.
He just can't stop talking.
And he's not even adding things to the ticket in ways that I think they wanted him to add things to the ticket, because, you know, at the RNC in Milwaukee, a major theme of his speech was connecting with working class voters and talking about taking a different approach than maybe some Republicans in the past. Well, one of the things that the Marquette poll does in their breakdown is breaks things down by income level and where, you know, the support is coming from in these different races. Well, among those with an income less than $40,000, so maybe some of those working class voters that Vance is trying to reach, his net favorability is minus 20, 30% favorable to 50% unfavorable. Again, about 20% of people who don't yet have an opinion advance. But he's failing in the places that he's trying to make a priority, which I think is a factor too. Just overall, Vance is really polling poorly in Wisconsin, and this pick is looking worse and worse by the day.
Well, the other night he was on. We played it yesterday. This clip where Taylor Swift, of course, came out and endorsed the Harris-Walz ticket after the debate on Tuesday night, and Vance was on some show saying, "I don't think that a millionaire endorsing anyone is going to make any difference, that she doesn't appreciate what regular Americans are like." Dude, who are you running with? The man who inherited hundreds of millions of dollars, who thinks you need to have a license, a photo ID to buy bread. You're right. He's so much more a man of the people than Trump. He's just like one of us.
It's always so weird when Republicans do this, right? They rip on any kind of celebrity endorsement, and then any celebrity says something favorable about Trump or the Republican Party. Like, you know, they'll put him on stage. We had Hulk Hogan and Kid Rock and all these names at the RNC this year. Like, you know, and Trump obviously himself was just basically a reality TV star before he became went into politics. So it's just, it's always so hypocritical when they make these comments.
We are going to continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. So stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in, wheels up and we'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. You can join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time from the Recombobulation area. And now Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here talking about the latest poll from Marquette. And you wanted to talk, Greg, about undecideds.
Yeah, we're, you know, especially with the debates, and as we get closer and closer, we hear more and more about undecided voters. And Dan, you just brought that up a little bit earlier. And I was listening to I produced Pat Kreitlow's show, and he was talking to Mark Jacobs, who's a Chicago reporter, and they were talking about the notion of undecided voters talking in the realm of, well, I just need to know more about her. I need to know more about her. Well, at this point, there's been plenty, and if you wanted to know more, you're not reading it anyway.
You can find it.
Are you, in fact, an undecided voter? Or, one, are you a voter in disguise? Or are you just looking for attention? Or what? But, Dan, I wanted to get your thoughts on that, because that age-old thing of, like, I just don't know enough about them. Well, my dude, Google is right there. And she's been the vice president for nearly 4 years. She's a senator. She was AG.
She's got a record.
She's not brand new on the scene.
Well, that's a great point. And, you know, there are fewer and fewer undecided voters in every election, I think, because of how polarized the electorate is. And I think also, you know, people know Donald Trump, right? people aren't really having to do their research on who Donald Trump is at this point. So if there is any of the candidates that people are trying to still learn about, it is of the two, I think it would still be Harris, obviously. But I think we also have to recognize that there are a lot of people who don't really pay attention to this stuff until it really gets close to an election. And I think one of the things that some political insiders will tell you about, you know, congressional races or Senate races or something like that, is that nobody's paying attention until Labor Day. And so sometimes it will take until Labor Day of an election year. That's kind of the unofficial start of just like the sprint for some of these Senate and congressional races that people might not be paying attention to, you know. Maybe that's the case for the presidential race too. But like you said, it's not hard to find It's not hard to find information.
Yeah.
Well, it just,
these candidates,
it just seems to be a little lazy to me.
Yeah.
And if you were really concerned and you wanted to educate yourself about it, like Greg said, Google's right there, friends.
Yeah.
Just plug a couple questions in there. You'll probably get a few answers. In the time that we have left, Dan, let's talk about the U.S. Senate race between Tammy Baldwin and California guy, Lake Sitting, X-throwing Eric Hovde.
Wisconsin landowner Eric Hovde, as Greg likes to call him. The race has tightened up a little bit from where it had been. The previous poll showed Baldwin up by 7. This one shows her up by 4. And I think it was interesting in this poll that, you know, typically in previous polls, Baldwin has been well ahead of the top of the ticket. She was, especially when it was with Joe Biden, she was polling well ahead of where Joe Biden was slightly ahead when it shifted over to Harris. And now it's pretty much even. So it was the 52-48 with the Harris Trump, 52-48 with Baldwin Hovde. So I think that is notable that she's no longer kind of outrunning the top of the ticket. And Hovde has made some gains in certain places here. You know, he's still definitely in the net negative on favorability, but it went from net minus 13 to net minus 9. People do know him a lot more than they did 2 months ago when it was like, you know, 35-40% of voters didn't yet have an opinion of him. Now it's more in the 20-25% range. So the campaign, you know, he is starting to introduce himself to people a little bit more. Those favorability numbers crept up ever so slightly. And the race has tightened a little bit. And I think that is, you know, for one, I think it just shows that Wisconsin is always going to have close statewide elections on pretty much every race. But I think there's also, you know, just an overall going to be some polls that are a little bit closer. And I think also, you know, just looking back to the August poll was really bad for Hovde.
Yes.
So there was kind of nowhere to go but up for him. And it was just really looking pretty bleak for him a month ago. And, you know, so he's back in the race a little bit, but still, I think, you know, you look through the crosstabs and look a lot of the data here, you'd certainly much rather be Baldwin. She's in this race. She's still certainly the favorite to win re-election. But, you know, Hovde did make some modest little gains here.
I guess I am curious as to why. I mean, has he all of a sudden developed a whole bunch of more qualifications that we didn't have before now? You know, he's a rich guy. He came from a wealthy family. He kind of had a lot of help from the family, and not to take away his success, you know, I'm sure he worked hard and all those things, but what's the draw to Eric Hovde?
I think it's just the natural polarization of Wisconsin.
He's not Baldwin.
Exactly.
He's not Baldwin.
Exactly.
Right. And so, and one of the things that they added in this particular poll was asking 3 questions about how these certain phrases describe each candidate. So one of them was on whether they are, quote, committed to serving the interests of Wisconsin. That's where Baldwin polled the best. She, you know, a huge majority of voters say that she is committed to serving the interest of Wisconsin. That's the place. I think that's kind of the hallmark of who she is as a senator, that type of constituent service. We're always hearing news about dollars she's bringing home for infrastructure, for healthcare, for all sorts of different things. I think that's going to be, you know, a real strength for her. Where they were closer to even was the phrase, quote, will work to solve our national problems. So I think people who are upset with just like the larger national environment politically might be gravitating a little bit towards Hovde because, you know, he's not the incumbent. He's campaigning on doing something differently. And people who have real problems with where we are headed from a national standpoint might be gravitating more towards Hovde because of the nature of he's the challenger and she's the incumbent in this race.
All it takes for some people. It's not, I mean, that's what the ads are running now. He's not Baldwin.
That's it. Yeah. That's the big claim to fame. Brendan from New Jersey on the line. Good morning, Brendan. Real quickly, we don't have a whole lot of time left.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I couldn't decide what was more despicable, bringing the clown Laura Loomer to the 9/11 ceremony or what he did at Arlington. People need to wake up. Good Lord. I mean, the delusion and denial is incredible. But hey, listen, you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot, Brendan. Really appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling in. We're going to do another round of, before you joined us, Dan, we were doing all the best people talking about Stephen Miller, And we're going to talk a little bit about Laura Loomer, speaking of all the best people, after the 11 o'clock news. Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It is worth every penny. Dan Schaefer, we will see you next Friday. Thank you so very much, my friend.
Thanks, Jane. Be well.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.